What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, James Stewart. We back again, episode number 2. Welcome back to Bubba's World. I'm here with my best friend, Roger Larson. Hi, Roger. What's up, buddy?
What's up?
What's going on? Cole. What's your name again?
Cole Beach.
Yeah, that guy. Right Cole now. Beach. Anyways, we back here, episode 2. Trying to get this thing going. Finally, I thought after the first one we might get evicted, but you know, everybody let us stay at home. So it's been good. So appreciate all the love. So let's get this thing started.
Yeah, I was stoked with the response that we got, I think, after we posted that first one.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, dude, you were nervous.
I was nervous. I was for sure. Yeah.
I was nervous and you don't really know how people are gonna, no, you know, look at you and all that stuff. And for me, it was the first time, like I said. Like being interviewed and then podcast and kind of leading shows, it's a night and day deal. So it was good. The amount of love that we got, I appreciate that. All the clicks and support from inside the industry, outside the industry, fans. It was great. So hopefully we'll keep it going up. We'll get better as we go through. But yeah, about a week out from the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, a week out from the season. Christmas is fast. It's about to be a new year, so... Yeah.
I think we're, 10 days away from A1?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. We're probably, 3 days away from the New Year's breaking in. So let's kick 22 off with a big bang. And let's kick it off with Bubba's World, right?
Yep.
How was Christmas?
Christmas was all right. I spent it with a bunch of Euros, actually. We had a bunch of,
That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I spent it with my kids. I spent it with a bunch of Euros.
We had a bunch of
people from Europe.
Yeah. Right, there's a couple of riders in town that have families. So we all got together.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. No, my kids, we had to put like milk and cookies out from Santa Claus. And I don't know. I was actually starting to get a little jealous of Santa Claus this year because I just feel like the appreciation of like what dad has to do to get like Christmas present, like they give it to him, like this imaginary dude, like, you know, I get it. We were watching the golf tournament and the one Tiger was playing and John Daly, you know, he's kind of big.
If I were a golfer, that'd be him.
Yeah. Well, anyways, my kid's like, Santa Claus. Santa Claus is playing golf. I'm like, yeah, he's out there playing golf. But yeah, I was like messing around with him. Like, yeah, Santa Claus this year, like COVID hit him hard too. You know, like, you know, Santa, you know, he had to let some of the reindeer go, you know, so presents might be a little lighter this year. But yeah, we had a good time. We actually just spent it at home. It was good. We got him a little, I don't know, like spinny razor things and you know, a couple little things. But believe it or not, like the gift that they love having, which they already had it before, was the Stasics. So shout out to the guys at Stasics. Thank you very much. I'm waiting for that 22. They come out 22-inch wheel. But yeah, my kids love that. And my youngest one, he just actually started turning on the gas and he ate crap the other day, ran into the wall. Typical Stewart way. You know,
I knew just he'd be the one.
Blew it up. Like I knew blew he'd up. Be the one. Amazing. And
J3 was probably watching him going, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, he was like, "This is you're stupid." But anyways, yeah, he blew up, broke one of my sprinklers. Got up, he had like weeds and stuff in his hair, and I was like, "Son,
the littlest one's a wild one."
Yeah, he's the wild one for sure. Like he turns with no fear, just gassing, and he got up. And I give a little man credit. Like I was picking the weeds out of his hair, and I was like, "You ready to go?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah." I was like, "Oh no, no!" I can see Dade City coming all quickly. So, yeah, that was cool. It was good Christmas. It was good Christmas. Happy is over with, though.
I was just at Dade City the other day.
Yeah, you live here in Florida most of the time. You come here, you don't even call me. No, like we're supposed to be partners. Most people, like co-hosts, like they're like, "Hey, let's get up, let's have dinner."
You didn't want nothing to do with what I was doing.
I don't know what you're doing. Like it's
so I flew in the day after Christmas. Went to 83 Compound, which is Chad Reed's old place. place is actually, did you go there with?
Nah, I didn't go there with Chase.
I know you went to the Nest or Sandbox or whatever it's called, but
yeah, it was the first time I went anywhere outside of this place. Yeah. Yeah. But I hear that. Chad's place. I went to Ferry's, Ferry's place.
Chad's place is actually pretty sick.
I mean, Chad's, he's legit too.
I was like, impressed.
Everybody, you get a standard and then, you start doing it. But yeah, I mean, these compounds, everything's a compound these days. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, how many people they had there? Or is it still like pretty low key?
No, there was probably, we were there with that Rides Unlimited team. We were doing a team photo shoot. Mm. One of the riders there trains there. But between him and, I mean, there's probably 10 riders there.
Really?
Cooper, Anstey, Bogle, Savachi, McElrath.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what actually looked good was Anstey. He actually looks pretty good on that KTM.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's a good motorcycle. So, I mean, is he on his own team or
no,
what?
He's on the Rocky Mountain ATV team.
Okay. So,
So the guy that bought 83 or the guy that bought Chad Reed's place, his son races, he's an amateur. His name's Ethan Lane. So his number's 83. So that's where the 83 compound comes in.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't put two and two together, but I mean, besides you, I get my 401. I used to get it from you, but yeah, it's good. That's why I got to lean on you two guys to kind of get the insights and stuff. But yeah, it seems like a lot of compound. I should talk to Sorby. He's coming down here. So maybe they got the French Choulet compound. I don't know. But yeah, I got to get him on that because back when we did Bubba's World, he was kind of moonlighting trying to get Sorby's World on there. But yeah, my good friend Eric. But yeah, it's good. I think everybody's, excited that Christmas is over. And I remember when I raced, Christmas sucked because it always reminded me and within the week or 2 weeks, it was always ready for A1. So I can never enjoy Christmas. And it also sucked because of that. And then two, because you buy my own presents with my own money. Like, that's not Christmas. It's not Christmas. So yeah.
I'll always remember you said one time, I asked him like, what are you gonna get the wife for Christmas? And you're like, I just tell her to walk out of the living room, look around.
Oh man. Yeah.
Every day is Christmas with me. I'm like, dude, that's wise words. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, in my house, Christmas is straight up. And I'm telling you, you should use this. Anybody ask you what you're going to get somebody for Christmas that lives in your house, you walk over to the lights switch and you flip them on and off. It's called electricity. Merry Christmas. That's what
I'll give it to you every day.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. And you know how much you add that up? That's a pretty substantial Christmas present. Without that, nothing works. So yeah, I feel like I do my job on that. Now keep the water. You got hot water, right? You got electricity, right?
Roof over the head.
Merry Christmas. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, well, we're getting the roof done. So, I mean, even that was kind of suspect. Could throw that part out. But, yeah.
The roof. You've been talking about the roof.
Yeah, man.
You've been talking about the roof since we've been talking about the podcast.
What, 10 years now? No, the roof has actually been longer than that. I finally got that done. And it's, I don't even want to get in that. And we're going to start 22 off with a good note. But, yeah, everybody just out for everybody. And, yeah, the roof is still not done.
Timeline?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Timeline's when it's done. Simple as that. Yeah. It's no leaking in there anymore. But yeah, it was good. So yeah, I'm just happy. Happy Christmas is over.
Do you enjoy playing Santa at all?
I don't play Santa Claus. Yeah. I don't play Santa. I mean, again, like I just said, Santa Claus, maybe I'm just biased. Like, I don't mean to be negative, but I think he just gets too much props. Like, you go through all that stuff. Dada was upstairs wrapping them gifts. Like, Dada went out.
Bro, you were not wrapping gifts.
I wrapped gifts this year.
No, you did not.
Man, my life has changed.
You're going to be
I'm a news analyst. I'm a Christmas gift rapper, whatever. I'm an island boy, whatever you want to call me. Like, I'm just doing what I do. But, yeah, I do a lot of stuff. I clean diapers. I take baths. I cook. I'm actually a good chef now.
No way.
Yeah, man.
You're going to be one of those dads that just kills your kids' dreams and tells them Santa's not real in like a year or two.
It almost happened this year. I ain't going to lie. It almost, like, when you're like, oh, yeah, thank you, Papa Noel, because he's still Spanish a little bit. I was like, yeah, he's good. Yeah, I ate them cookies though. I ate them cookies. They gonna make. I don't even get hot meals in my crib. They baking cookies and stuff for Santa. So yeah, I'm like, you over there wasting milk? It costs money. So yeah, but it was good. It's nice to, you know, all joking aside, like it is nice to enjoy Christmas in a different way. Like, you know, I've always been kind of like, me being a dad is kind of like the fans. Like I get enjoyment of like other people like enjoying stuff. And my kids really do enjoy, even though they're spoiled. I mean, spoiled, but I enjoy it. Like I enjoy it. So yeah, it was good. So, and both them, they're old enough. Like my youngest one, he's old enough to actually know what Christmas is and he looks forward to it. So, yeah, it was good. So yeah. How about your kids?
Kids are good.
Yeah, they're still good. Yeah. Still zero. Tucked in between.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah. 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 So it was good. So yeah. A lot of stuff happening now. They got the another 19-20 Obercon zebra leopard. I told you it was gonna be like you're gonna go through the alphabets. All these are kind of like they're like hurricanes. Like you're gonna get to a point where they're gonna start getting alphas of what's after they go through all the names, they get into the, that's kind of where we're at. So got another one of those out. Just stay safe, people. Yeah. And then now they got I hear a new World Supercross thing coming up. Something. No. I heard that announcement. That should be pretty cool I don't know much about it. So, yeah, anything that brings more attention to our sport, like, it'd be great. I'd love to be a part of it either way. But yeah, I'm just excited for Anaheim to kick off. You know, it's a little bit different this year because last year I felt like I was kind of partly racing. Like I didn't enjoy it because I knew all the work we were putting into it. So it was like pulling for like, you know,
yeah,
brother and then, you know, Chase. This year I'm pulling for everybody. I'm pulling for my picks to be right, hopefully. So I might be a little biased there, but yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. So I get to be straight up fat guy, computer guy, vital dude, keyboard warrior, potato couch muncher. That's me. So whatever. So yeah, it'd be good. So anyways,
how did you think everything went from the first episode compared to what you anticipated?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a hard critic on myself. I mean, I think he made me nervous. I thought it was going to be good to listen to him. Well, like, you know,
and like I told Cole Beach, he's new to this. Oh,
that's your last name, Beach.
Yeah. It's like I told Cole Beach, yeah,
cool.
Everything we do or like James does, like people, I don't know, hold it to a higher standard, yeah, or critique it more. So that adds pressure, but I think that's good. Good pressure is good for you.
Yeah. No, I, you know, true story. The only time I wasn't nervous in my life riding a motorcycle was the last race I ever raced. Sitting on Washougal, sitting on the gate. I was thinking of everything else, and I wasn't nervous in those last race. So, yeah, I was nervous about this. So I thought it went good. I couldn't believe, and it's still, like, fantastic support. Can't be grateful enough. Like, that was cool. And, you know, and I think it made it for sure wanting to, like, do more because, of course, like, these little clicks, likes and all that stuff, if those wasn't hitting, the downloads and stuff, they weren't coming, then it'd be – wouldn't say it would be harder to do the show, but it would be awkward. But everybody made it cool. And then just some of the people that I haven't spoken to in years reached out. And it was cool. Did the Pulp show with Steve.
And that was actually a really, really good interview.
That was really cool. I mean, I've never spoken to those guys like in that kind of way. I actually felt like we were all kind of brothers and team. And like I said on that show, like the family support that I have and the feeling it really does feel like a knit that a part of it. So I think everybody's decided to, you know, all of us be in this thing together. So we're going to do as many as we can. And if you guys keep supporting it, then we'll just keep going and going. So yeah. And got to get up my boy Cole, you know, knocking it out, all the YouTube stuff and putting this thing together. So I know your last name, Cole.
Cole Beach.
Yeah, that's what it is. Cole like, Beach. You know, again, when you, it's going to be, we're going to start calling you Cole Beach. Like Cole Beach.
Yeah, it kind of works that way. Like a lot of my local friends just
this
it's Cold Beach. It.
Yeah, I guess it's too short, right? Cold Beach. Yeah, yeah, James. Cold Beach. Yeah.
One take, Jimmy.
Yeah, like Roger Larson. Like, I wouldn't call him by his full. I don't even call him by his whole first name.
Only when oh, things are bad.
Yeah.
Only when
except are bad. For when the girls is like, Roger.
Yeah, only when things are bad.
Roger. Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
But I do the same thing to you. Yeah. Remember you like, just the other day, you're like, dude, yeah. I know it's bad. You just said James 3 times.
Yeah, yeah. He called me, hey, James. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, and same thing. Hey, buddy, what up? I call him by his first name. It's legit. So, yeah, I guess when my parents used to call me James Stewart, I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah, that's when you know it's serious.
Yeah, but you... We call you by your first and last name, so you're cool. But yeah, it went great. To answer your question, it went great. And I think as we get going on, we just get better and have some more fun and decided to kind of kick in some of the ideals that we got. So yeah.
It almost felt like when we first started Seven, like the...
Oh, when you were burning your knuckles, all of the... Yeah. When I wanted a wing print and all those jerseys. Yeah.
No, not that, but oh. Just the I don't know. I mean, people were stoked, I think, when we started it.
Yeah, I think people like different, you know? And I think, you know, again, I now enjoy speaking and it's part of my life where all the knowledge and all the things that I went through, like I'm kind of platformed to really just talk about all of it. However much and less I want, and not to be kind of like, oh, I can't say this, can't say that, like just kind of be who I am. And then, so that's part. And I think people appreciate different stuff. And again, not being gone for a while, you know, I think, you know, people appreciate me being back. I appreciate myself being back, but also just everything in the world. Like, I think everybody looks at things different. So, really, when you have something, you just kind of appreciate it. But for me, it's I just kind of feel at ease. If you don't like it, whatever. It's who I am, but it's nice to have the support from everybody. So
I think it was you did a great job on Pulp explaining how, you know, after you kind of stepped away from racing, that you felt lost for a little bit. And I honestly didn't even know that. Like that, you. It sounded like you kind of went into a little bit of a dark place. And you were looking for kind of what's next. What does James want to do? And this was that avenue. Like when we started doing those recaps, you saw the feedback because you hadn't been in the face of the public image for quite a while. And then all of a sudden there's such a cool, positive feedback. And you're like, all right, this is kind of where I belong. And that was super cool to listen to.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I wouldn't necessarily say I went to a dark spot like I was depressed. I think it was more... Like I never planned on Washougal being my last race, you know? So
I don't think any of us did.
Yeah. I mean, like when I was sitting on that hay bale, when I crashed at 12, like in Houston, that could have, I prepared
that was more likely.
That was the last race that I retired that time, you know? So I had more of that retirement than I actually retired. But, I think it was just more of, okay, I still want to race. You know, but I want to race the way I want, like try to figure out a team. And we were working on the team stuff behind the scenes and all that. So there was really no.
And that went on for.
That went on for a year
and a half, maybe. Year. So, I mean, into two seasons that went into.
Yeah. And then I think like it was in the year before with the whole FIM and that stuff, like that kind of, it didn't feel like it was. Like, I guess my time to go at that point. And then again, like I wanted to race, but still like it had to be on my level. And there were so many different things changing and just a little bit of the behind the scenes stuff that happened at the end of not knowing and being told one thing and watching, figuring out a thing. It kind of bummed me out a little bit. So, you know, yeah, there was a period where I was like, all right, like, what are you doing? And at that time, like, I swear I woke up one day fat. Like I woke up.
I don't know if it was one day.
One day I looked in the mirror.
One day, like, I'll give you this. One day you showed up to Daytona and you were skinny again.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how that is.
You lost the weight overweight, but you didn't put it on overweight.
Yeah, that's called no hot meals and, you know, the PBJ diet. But, yeah. I've literally looked in the mirror. I could look at old pictures and be like, damn, like I look like a 30-year-old Big J. Like you call me Big Little J, like over there. I couldn't believe it.
I think that's why when we even did launch the first Instagram video, people were like, or no, it was the ride date when people saw you. They're like, oh, he's coming back. He's coming back.
Yeah.
They saw that. You're-
yeah. No, I had a bunch of people saying, oh, you're coming back. But well, I guess when we announced the retirement, when as soon as we posted that video, they're like, oh, his ass retired. Look how fat he is. Like, yo, he retired. You didn't have to look at it. Just look at the picture that's on YouTube. Oh, he retired. Yeah. Same thing when we did those recap videos. I was like, ooh, Cole, you're gonna have to cut out half of my face, like, because it was big. But yeah, there was just a little uncertainty going on, and just kind of throughout my whole career, I've always been the type that I ain't gonna say nothing unless I know what I'm gonna say. And that's kind of the way it was, because like you said earlier, like, people, they did fairly or whatever you want to say, like, it always was a different reaction if I did the same thing somebody else. And probably for the longest time, I looked at that as it was unfair. But then you start looking at it as like, that's actually good, because people hold you at a different level. Like, you know, if they don't say anything, then they don't really care, yeah. You know,
no,
like,
they
hold you, even if this guy does the same thing, you should do it better. And, you know, so to really kind of take that and embrace it, and like what he said, even with this show, like, you feel, yeah, at some point, like, the studio, having the right guys, you kind of have to do it right. So, you know, either way, it was great. And now I've found my spot. So, yeah, it's going to be here with Bubba's World. So let's get into this Supercross picks. We'll go through that. But before that, let's take a commercial break. Oh, that's so awesome. Let's take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Monster Energy AMA Supercross Championship.
Are you ready? Let's do it.
Don't miss Monster Energy Supercross. See the world's elite motocross riders race for the series points lead. Visit supercrosslive.com for more info and get your tickets today.
So who you got? Top 10.
I see you looking at my paper.
I'm looking at your paper.
I see you looking at my paper.
Yeah, you're top 10. Little suspect.
What?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Look, you got to be political. It's cool.
Hey, my picks are 100% legit.
I would hope they are. This show is about authenticity. So
yeah, there's no ulterior motives behind this. These are legitimate picks.
Yeah, I mean, really.
But it's tough. It's hard to.
It is.
It's hard.
It is. And, you know, there's no dominant guy on there. I think it's funny, like, as we go through these picks and stuff, each rider has something that has to work for them that's different than any other rider. Like Cooper, defending champ. Like, how many, like, defending champs did you come in that's same team, probably has only gotten better on there? You would say his team's, what, he's been on there, what, he's won 2 out of 3 championships, right?
Cooper.
Yeah, yeah. Cooper has. I should know that. I did know that, actually. Coming in, he finished the outdoor off. He's healthy. But, like, we're like, man, you think he has, like, what it is? Like, if Eli coming in last year, I mean, I think we all kind of thought he would do better than what he did on there. Like, defending champ Eli, you know, he's got the speed. He's on certain nights, he's just better than everybody else. But with Cooper, it's different. It's different. Like, we always talk about mentality and all the other things just outside of, like, what, you know, I guess past champions used to have, like, just straight speed. And it's almost kind of like a little underdog in a sense. Like, you know, it's about everything else with him besides just what he does. Like, he just goes faster than everybody else. It's usually not like that. So
I think his racecraft is something that no one else can match, like how smart he is out there.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, when you start talking about why he's won 100%, I think everybody, even his competition, understands that. But I guess just on the outside fan, you would just think, like, you know, the Lakers. Well, they got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, or, you know, the Patriots. They had Tom Brady. But with Cooper, it's different. Like, you talk about, like, well, it's like you almost got to be understanding of the sport and, like, riders and mentality and how important teams and structure is to really understand, like, wow, how does this guy win? Because when you watch him, he doesn't do anything else different than anybody else. And it's not like he's 2 seconds faster. It's not like you see him like Eli certain nights. He can come from like 15th to up first, like, just be fast. Even Ferrandis outdoors, like, there was times that he was just clearly faster than everybody else. And And, you know, with Cooper, it's just different. Like, he's just...
Okay, so with that being said, him changing his where he's riding and him changing trainers, how do you think that's going to affect?
You know, as great as Eldon is, I think he affects certain riders in different spots. You know, so, and again, I don't want this to sound like a knock on Eldon because it's not. I don't think Eldon wouldn't be the reason why Cooper would win or lose this year. You know, I don't think that's the part that would matter. I think Cooper being in his mindset and whatever kind of decides.
But what benefits will Cooper have next year by making those changes? I guess is what I'm asking you.
Yeah, I mean, the only benefit I would see is, I guess, the benefit of where when Dungy retired, you know, Villo, like, when you get in a structured program like that, I even went through it. Like, there's a part where the Monday through Friday becomes so much, you know, work, and you're almost like tired before you go to the weekend. And to do that and to be on the top level and expecting to win, because, you know, he expects you to win, you know, I mean, Eldon, the team expects you to win. And then, like, you know, I think if you're that guy where everybody else expects you to win, you know, it's a lot of pressure. So I think maybe the freedom of being able to kind of be his own person a little bit, you know, that, like, that could help him on there. Like, that would be the only part I would see that could help him. You know, I think he's a champion. He knows how to win. And again, like, it's with Cooper, it's upstairs, you know, it's upstairs. So it depends on how that mind is. So I don't think leaving Eldon or not, would really make a difference, like, with him. Like, I don't think Cooper really cares about that. I mean, he might win just in spite of it, you know?
Yeah, it might create a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Like, hey, I want to prove all this.
But that being said, hindsight, like, when Cooper went to Eldon, benefited him, because, like, I think it gave him the confidence of being, you know, with a trainer, you know, got to learn the same stuff I learned, like nutrition, and just having him, like, aboard made you, like, all right, I'm fit, and just learning different stuff. And again, perception to everybody else. And I think Cooper was in that place where you could almost say, like, was it Eldon or was it KTM? Because they happened at the same time.
Right, right.
And I would just say it's both. So Eldon just definitely benefited him. But I think Cooper's he's 2-time champion. He's on the same team. And, I mean, if he was training with Drone in the zone, you know, Cooper, if he wanted to win, like, he would have the same chance of winning either way.
Yeah.
That being said, is he my pick to win?
We shall see.
Well, we ain't got that part yet.
Now, brand new factory edition KTMs. Shorter shock, from what I hear.
Yeah.
The KTM does look good. Like, the new KTM looks good. And it did look good with the number 7 on there. Although I don't know why AP uses these weird looking.
He's got a
7.
Weird 7, huh? Like, at
Yamaha, they were
got to represent.
Yeah. I feel like I need to call him and say, let me send you a real 7.
Nah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's a differentiate. Like, you can see the difference. But yeah, when you look at him, it's not, you know, it's not JS7. But
yeah, but I'm not going to lie.
He's the 7 now.
Like, it does look good on that bike.
Yeah, it does look good. It could look good like 5, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I couldn't help but think when I first saw the picture of his bike.
I mean, imagine like when we...
What could have been.
Yeah, what could have been on that. And talking about the story of what happened.
Pick a time. I mean,
since we're on
and we
TV,
can talk about all this stuff. Like, the statute of limitations. It's definitely passed.
We got statute of limitations. Can we go back?
We can talk about whatever we want.
I don't know. I mean, shoot.
But he...
Dude, people are getting, like, knocked up from 1955 these days. So, you know, keep it on there. But for sure, you were...
You had St. a chance Louis. To... Yeah, St. Louis Supercross.
It was like the third time, right?
That was... What year was that? 16.
16. Dude, man. I came back that race and I hurt my back landing off a triple. Yep. Oh my God. That was probably the worst pain I ever rode in my life. But like, dude, I had to suck it up. Like, I couldn't even stand up. I was trying to milk it all day. I just landed off the triple. That's when I knew I was getting close to the end. I just landed off the triple. I just felt... And I was like, oh, my back. And like, I'm like, please, God, like, please, like, help stop, partner. They couldn't do nothing. I was just jacked up. And then, yeah, that's when we met with Raj.
Yeah, he tells me, go have DeCostra come over to the bus today. I'm like, bro, I can't just walk over to KTM.
You, Raj, make it happen. Hey, just make it happen.
Can Raj come out? He needs over the bus. So I worked it out with, it was actually Marvin's mechanic. Remember Frankie?
Frankie, yeah.
When he got mad at you that one night.
Yeah, I know. Like, was that before Atlanta out there? And by the way, that wasn't my fault.
No.
I was tired. I was doing in the back over there. Thought I was racing for a win when they came by past me. Thought something happened.
So I went over, orchestrated with Frankie. I said, when I walk by the truck, have the Coster head over to the motorhome. The bus door's open. Just have him walk right in. So I walk by, give Frankie the nod. He goes and gets Roger. Roger walks around the front of the truck. I walk around the back of the truck. So he's about 10 feet in front of me walking. And you know St. Louis, you walk down that ramp.
Yeah.
Bus is sitting right at the end. And it was almost like a James Bond movie. Because that's just how DeCosta is. He's just like that. You know, and he was cool as can be. Walked down there. He didn't even care. Like, he just walked right in the bus. No one said it. I don't. I still don't. To this day, I don't think anyone even knew that we met.
Well, until they watched Bubba's World and the show, they can find out this time. But yeah, and you know, open it up. We could negotiate. I was actually in the contract, so I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Like, oh, I was moonlight and whatnot. So like, we was negotiating at that time.
We were just talking.
Yeah, we were just talking on there. But that again, like, that was the thing when you talk about holding standards, like. I mean, I should be able to like talk like everybody else does. They talk about like God, but nah, you got a whole like, hey man, meet me at 5 o'clock on the dock over there. I'm gonna drop my car keys. You bring them
that's
up.
Exactly
like,
oh, how it was.
That's
exactly how it was.
When I signed Samuel in 2008, I remember like going to Larry at a couple like races, and he used to like hold his head down and like look up like smiling because we just signed a deal or we were like negotiating. It's so stupid, but it's awesome. I miss that.
The best, my best James Stewart story was Washougal 2008. You went 1-1. Burner went 3-3.
He was on Suzuki, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, yeah, right. He was answered at that time.
So
I didn't know you.
Time-wise, well, we just knew of each other. So, but at that time, we were like in negotiation.
Yeah.
That's like August, September. But no one knew, obviously.
Yeah.
So you get off the podium, you ride back to the truck. And I'm walking towards Burner's truck, and you see me. And in front of everyone, you do this.
I don't even remember, but
and I'm like, I bet I turned white as a ghost. And I'm like,
you already white.
And I'm like, how can you just do that? Like, everyone would have just seen that. No one did, but
well, they probably didn't think like,
no,
I mean,
no, no one in their right mind.
Like, maybe he thought he was gonna get a car at the auction on, you know, Thursday, right?
And truth be told, that first initial conversation, which I've probably told this in an interview or two before, but the first time you called me about leaving Fox, I think I spent the first 30 minutes convincing you not to do it.
That sounds like you.
Yeah.
That sounds like
you. I'm like, dude, you're
like, come on, guy. Like,
you're crazy. Like,
why would you come to us?
I'm like,
why would you? You weren't really helping in negotiating team. But yeah.
I'm like, I know what they're doing for you. I know what they're paying for you. We can't do that. And you're like, dude, if you do it, I'll make more money than you did.
Well, obviously, case in point, you did like on that. I don't remember, but I remember it was great. Like, I just knew what it would do on there for both of us, not just you guys. It was a benefit for me too. But anyways, back to where we were on all that stuff. Who else you got?
I mean,
it ain't gonna work.
What's not gonna work?
I'm just joking with you. Yeah. Back to Cooper Shock, we're just talking about that off the air. I actually do think like that'd benefit him because having a shorter shock would help him go through whoops. I would say probably like skimming whoops. He might struggle actually jumping through whoops because I remember since I always set my bike up stiffer, it was kind of lower in the rear. I always had a hard time jumping through whoops. That's why I like blitzing him. So I'd be interested to know like how does that kind of affect him, but they got different air shocks and all these different things. So it's a little bit different than what I was, but I think he should be pretty good. You know, and you think about all of races last year, the ones that he was able to jump through, whoops.
Those are the ones he won?
Yeah. I mean, the only one that he, I mean, actually Atlanta, I was going to say, he was blitzing through Atlanta when he caught Ken at the end when Ken fell.
Mm.
But I think he started jumping through that. But yeah, what do you think of Ken this year?
I think this is Kenny's, is his contract up this year?
I think he got 22 years, actually. Yeah, I think he's another. Yeah, I think he's got another year after this.
You sure?
I believe so, because, yeah, I think he does. Because if Chase got 3 years, then I think they were on the same program.
Well, either way, I think next year is going to be the year where I think Chase becomes the guy at Honda.
But that's not what I asked you.
But I'm saying it's going to be a hard year for Kenny.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be a hard year.
But I think next year or this year is going to be that changing the guard kind of.
Yeah, I mean, my personal opinion, like, I think it's going to be tough for him. Just with all the kind of, I mean, he's been 2 years. That's been pretty close, maybe 3 years. But if you look at him, he's actually gotten better. You know, after that injury, like, he was there, but nobody really expected. I don't think he expected, you know, with his wrist and all that. Then Cooper beat him that the first year. And then Eli got him last year. I mean, the year before. But it's going to be interesting with him. I think it's going to be about letting all that go and kind of enjoying the family. And I think the hardest part, like, when you get in this, once people get a book on you, like, on there, like, it's almost impossible to get, like, others to change their perspective. And I don't know if they have fear, you know, like, I don't know if they look at him the same as, you know, they did before. You know, I think you kind of, like, man, like, he gets through it, you kind of know who it is. And I think that's going to be one of the things for Eli. He's going to have to come in and change that perspective of what everybody else thinks. And I don't think they fear him. Luckily for him, there's a difference. You know, there's a new team. Yamaha's obviously proven itself to be pretty good. He keeps saying he's 4 seconds faster. I used to be 4 seconds faster when I switched from Fox to Answer. That's the ploy. But, you know, Eli, it's never been about speed for him. It's about, like, upstairs. So maybe this new team and all that will kind of give him, you know, an edge. But, you know, I think Ferrandis, you know, Champ, I think he's the guy that, outside of Cooper, what everybody would fear, you know, because I think he's strong enough mentally. He's obviously good enough. Will he take that step this year? Because I think I felt like he had the potential. I thought he'd do better in Supercross than what he did.
I think too, going in, he came into the season a little hurt, which probably didn't help.
Yeah, I mean, I think they struggled last year at Yamaha's, and they figured it out, obviously, in the middle part of the season, but they were struggling because once, I think it was around a Daytona or Orlando, like, you noticed they all got better. Like, Plessinger started coming, Malcolm started, you know, Ferrandis started doing, so they obviously figured something out, and they had a big test. But I don't think anybody thought he was going to do what he did at outdoors.
Did you have any part of that or no? Because around that same time, you had talked to Rango a little bit, talked to Malcolm a little bit. I know it was a long time ago, but there's still a lot of similarities between that bike and what you rode.
Yeah, I talked to Malcolm because.
I'm not saying you did. I'm just asking. I don't know.
Yeah, I spoke to him. I had a brother to brother conversation right after Orlando, because if you notice, he was jumping through whoops that night.
But he still tried to blitz him every time. I thought he was
died. And I spoke to him, and I remember, like, I could tell, you know, where he was on the track. He was in a position that, like, I was when I was sitting on a hay belt, like, just lost. And you get to a point where you just start, you don't know which way's up, you know, and you're like, man, I've tried every single thing. And to me, like, you know, I told him, like, look, why don't you just cancel out one thing? Like, let's either cancel out the endoing part, going over the handlebars, or, you know, or like fix the shock or fix the forks and all that. Like just fix one thing, because right now you guys are trying to fix it all and you're just kind of losing yourself. Like you're trying to make this magical thing. I think what you need is like what I say on golf. You can't have a two-way miss. You got to either go one way or the other. Like you can't have both. You stand on the tee box, you don't know which way it's going to go. That's a world of hurt. And with Malcolm, he was trying to get it to turn, but then he was trying to get it to go through whoops. Those are two different setups, you know? And so I talked to him and I said, like, I think you should do this. And it was kind of hard because at that time, like, I'm also like working with Chase and,
right.
And, but you know, he's my brother. And then, so I gave him a few things. I talked to Rango, his mechanic, and they tried it and it seemed like it worked. It seemed like it worked for the whole team. You know, so I wouldn't say they still had to go out and do the work, right. But yeah. Yeah, I did talk to him, and then obviously hindsight now, you know, we saw what happened, but yeah, I think it was good for him. And probably after what Ferrandis did during the outdoors with Eli really wanted to come there, because think about before last year, I don't think anybody was like trying to jump on Yamaha.
No,
you know? Sure. So obviously that change made it, you know, the success they had during Supercross, in the Supercross and then outdoors made people want to go in that motorcycle.
I think a lot of it has to also do with Star, like kind of taking over the factory 450 effort, like from Bobby to that whole team kind of being the way they are.
I think it's real similar to when you, and not just because it's the same manufacturer, but when you left Cowie to go to L&M, that was kind of, you were going there and to put in place people that you wanted. It was, I think it was more you could control your destiny a little bit more. And I feel like Eli is going there for the same reasons.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, who knows what his ultimate motivation to leave Cali, because I mean, they're a great team. Like me and Bike look good. They seem like they put a lot of work in, but that being said, like once you get behind the scenes, there's a lot of other things. And you know, case in point, I didn't choose to leave Kawasaki. No, let me go. Yeah. On there. So,
but when you did going to L&M, you could at the time, remember, you had Paul and Oscar, two mechanics. You had Longhorn back here. It was like,
but that was kind of the way they set it up, and that was Chad's deal, because he rode outdoor. I mean, he rode Supercross only. Yeah. They already had two mechanics on there. You know, then I brought Sergio in, you know, so I think it was maybe the end of the first year, second year, like we started changing different things, but they just won Supercross title. So it was hard to come over there and say, your bike ain't going to work, which we struggled, because I was actually trying to set it up where it made me comfortable like a Kawasaki, and that wasn't going to work. It wasn't until when they switched over to the backwards motor, that's when we all was like, okay, there's no data on how to fix this motorcycle. There's no, you know, we all kind of struggled trying to get that. But personally, I don't think it was because they left from Yamaha to Star. I don't think that was the part that made the bike better. What it probably did was actually made the atmosphere and that freedom, you know, maybe not so corporate, kind of like the L&M.
Yeah.
Made people enjoy like being there, because the guys that worked at Yamaha, I know they still got a huge part in it, but maybe it wasn't like Star had a secret chamber, like, oh, we do this. And I know Yamaha still has a big part of what goes on that bike and what doesn't go on there. And I think over time, like they've obviously allowed Star to, you know, maybe do some, you know, extra stuff on the side. And again, this is me kind of talking on the outside and from my experience with those guys, but it's not because like you went from here to here, same bike. They all work together. I just think it was the atmosphere, and you know, it's a good place to work at, you know, or be around. But you know, that being said, like you got to give Star credit for that perception and making the riders and the team feel like they want to come to work, you know, and that's a big part of it. And maybe
especially the short amount of time they did it in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, personally, I think if Yamaha's factory team, they would have still figured it out. There was obviously something that they figured out with that motorcycle. And again, beginning part, middle part of the season, they were struggling. You know, again, my brother was jumping through whoops, you know, and all that. So, but I think the team aspect of like everybody wanting to go to work and with Bobby and how he runs that team, it made people want to work on it and try to fix it. So, yeah, whatever it was, they figured out they're the champion. They're looking in maybe my pick to win, you know, this year coming up. But, you know, either way, Star, Yamaha, they all figured it out. And then you just got, you know, Eli going over there. And that's going to be interesting to see who's top dog of that team, because, you know, Ferrandis ain't giving it up and Eli's got to take it back. And to be honest, like, I think they are going to be like maybe the two guys that actually go against each other, you know, maybe more than, you know, Sexton, Roczen. I think those guys are either one can win the title. And I think with the Honda, there's other things that might have to work. Other guys, you know, what happened to Eli? What happened to Ferrandis? What happened, you know, Cincerello? What happened to Cooper? You know, where Eli and Ferrandis could go out and be like, oh, they won because they were just better than everybody else. So that's going to be interesting to have a teammate kind of like that on, under the same deal.
What about the guy that replaced Eli, Jason?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because, you know, Cole brought up a good point, which I didn't really think about, was the frame change. And Jason's been on a KTM for a while. Even with the Suzuki, it was a softer frame compared to some of the other bikes. So the way Jason rides, he's loose, shirt untucked. It's going to be interesting to see how he adapts to that bike. Like I think that'd be either he adapts to it or he doesn't. Like, and that's going to be a big determining factor with him, because Jason's kind of like Cooper to me. Like, I don't think the leaving Eldon for how he is as a person would make a huge difference. Now, let's say Ryan Dungey, he would have left Eldon. I would say it would have been a big deal because how Ryan is, those two guys, their personality is just different, you know? So, you know, I don't think that's a big determining factor. So it'd be interesting to see how it does fit his style. And, you know, he's one that I really can't call because I don't know. I'm not close enough. I've seen the videos and stuff. Doesn't look like he looks good,
but he made a lot of changes too. I mean, obviously team's a big change. He's working with Rango, Malcolm's old mechanic.
Yeah.
He left Florida and he's in California full time.
Yeah. He did that last year too. The year before,
I think he just actually bought a house right down the street from where you lived in Laguna Beach.
Still won't make him go 4 seconds faster.
What's your take on living in Orange County and riding in?
My take is a expensive toll road bill.
What would you do it all over again?
Oh, I would do it in a heartbeat. Yeah, I mean that beautiful blue. You can't beat Pacific Coast, man. Looking at that island, boys out there, whatever you want to call it.
He did have a pretty good view.
Oh man, it was. I mean, I don't know if he had a view like I did on there. I would do it in a heartbeat.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, and
the view is pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, more power to him. Yeah. Like everybody's over there. Roxon's got a place. Like Jason's staying with old Beaker over there.
Yeah,
like they all like surfing and all that stuff. I didn't do that. Black people don't swim, but.
But yeah. was there a benefit or I think Barsh is there, Jason's there.
I don't know. I don't know why they did it. I did it because Pops was farting all day in the damn house. I didn't want to be next to him, so I left. Yeah. I just liked it. For me personally, I got used to driving 40 minutes from my house here in Florida, so it just gave me time to calm down. And no matter, even if you live in Temecula, some of the outdoor tracks, they're an hour and a half away from wherever you live at. So I might as well go home to like a nice place. And then I was loving my Javier's.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, it was so taboos. What taboos down there?
Little it's place. It's not there anymore. It's it's called
I still never been to your Drake. Place.
It's called the Drake.
Oh. I drove past your crib every day.
You never come to California?
You don't even like, when I went to California,
bro, you know where I live.
No, I actually don't. I'm somewhere down there. Yeah. Anyways, Yeah, I don't think that doesn't make a difference of why they're going to do what they do. That's not a big necessary point. It's whether he gets along with the Kawasaki or not. So,
well, we'll see. 10 more days.
Yeah. You think Barcia went 4 in a row?
I'm going to go with Cole Beach and say,
bitch.
Cole said,
I just had to say that, which is perfect timing.
Cole Beach said that he thinks Anderson will win A1.
What?
Oh, wow. He's blowing my cover from my off-air comments.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I do. I just got a feeling. It's a gut feeling. No real science behind it. I just feel like, I mean, he won in 2018 A1. Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, it may not set up his whole season, but I just feel like he's kind of got a lot of hype, you know, switching teams.
I mean, I've seen the videos. What do you think? I mean, he looks good.
I mean, everyone's got hype too. I mean, between Plessinger switching, Eli switching, everyone's kind of got that, like, oh, who's going
to
do the
and
best?
And I talked to Rango a little bit, and he tells me that he's going good.
Insider guy.
Yeah. They're all good.
No one will ever say that they're doing bad, to be honest, I feel like.
You're right about that. You're right about that. Boy, I was the best I ever been every time I win.
But Barcia, I feel like, is a tough one. Like, yeah, he...
Would you say would you think he win it? No, but would you be surprised?
No.
Yeah, you know. And he's like, I don't know, Justin, he just does his own thing. Like, yeah. He's his own person. And again, that's not too many people where you'd be like, would you be surprised? Like, no. Do you think? No. And then, like, he goes out there and, like, wins. But four-peat? Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
It's a big ask.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big ass and went 2 in a row. He won 3 in a row.
Yeah, 3 in a row on a brand new bike.
Brand new bike, brand new team.
Was it a brand new bike or a brand new team in a color?
Because you go from Yamaha to GasGas. So
yeah, for him.
For him, it's a new bike.
Yeah, well, the bike was pretty good.
True.
Yeah, I mean, the bike was good. You want to think about, like, how big a difference does a bike make? Well, think about Ryan Dungey in 14 switching over to that new KTM in 15. Like, that guy, how big a difference he was.
Or Cooper leaving Yamaha and going to KTM when he did.
Yeah, 100% for sure.
Or let's talk about 2.7. Him leaving bike going to it.
Yeah, with Malcolm, I'm hoping he does good. Like, we need some promotion. He gets 7 up on the podium. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course, he's my brother. You know, Black Lives Matter. You know, we want you out there. No, I think Malcolm's another dark horse. I still think the jump, like, mentally from going from here to, like, here, and not to say, I mean, he finished 6th last year in the title, but that expectation of, like, you know, winning. It's a big jump. And even if he came out 1A1, A2, A3, Daytona, like, I would still say it's a big jump, like, on there. And it's not Malcolm. It's all of them. Outside of Cooper, I mean, even with Jason Anderson, he won the title. But still, it would be a big jump from him, like, to come back up and feel that pressure again. Because if you notice, like, in 18, I mean, he struggled at the end of the year. He had the Salt Lake race where he went down and had some issues, but he had some few things going. And then Eli, you know, he's had some difficult time, like, dealing with pressure. So outside of Cooper, I mean, who could you say that would be able to be comfortable making that jump? They all making it.
So you're saying Cooper's your pick?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
That's what it sounded like.
I didn't say that. All I said was what I said.
I did catch him looking at my paper a couple of times.
I ain't looking.
I think Dylan's the one that I think could make that jump. Like, he did in outdoors, but I think he could. I don't know if it's going to happen right away. I think he may kind of pick it up probably closer to midway through the season, but I think he could handle the pressure no problem.
Yeah, for sure. And there's all different types of pressure. Like, there's pressures of, I also believe it's who's winning. You know, I think if Eli's up there winning races, I think that's a difference than, you know, let's say whoever else. winning races. And even like Cooper, because unless Cooper's gotten like that much faster, they're still not worried about him being faster than him. And I'll take speed over anything else any day, because you can get the rest. You can't find speed. Right, like you can't be faster. So I think if he really is 4 seconds faster and he's figured out what keeps him in the flow and this new team and all that, he's going to be a hard person to beat, and they all know it. So I think if he's winning and he comes out strong and wins the first few races, I think it's going to put a pressure on a lot of other guys compared to, I think if, you know, anybody else, they'll feel like they have a chance still. So it's going to be interesting. Like I said, each rider has their own little thing that they got to accomplish to win. And they're all different, you know, like again, Cooper, is he strong mentally? I think what happened last year, I think he got into it and winning Houston, I think the second Houston, maybe whatever, when he caught
Dean.
No, that was the third Houston when he passed Kenny.
Yeah. Like, I think that actually sparked him to jumpstart his whole season, like winning, because if you watch that race, he was actually shocked he won. Like, I remember him coming off the track. He was like, dude, I'm so tired. Like, on there, like, you could see there was a point where he was winning and he was like, damn, that was the hardest thing in my life. But then towards the end, like, he started expecting to win and everybody else saw it. So, like I said, like, each of them have to have their own, like, little deal to win. I think Eli has to come out and just be faster and stronger than everybody else.
Personally, my dark horse underdog is Chase. I feel like he's going to really step it up and he's showed great signs of speed.
Yeah.
But I think maybe the consistency could use some work, but I think he's going to be up there quite a bit more.
Yeah, for sure. I think Chase, he's for sure. I mean, he was fast, sometimes the fastest all of last year. I think he still has to make a jump but he has the speed, you know, he has the speed, and he obviously has a team. So it wouldn't surprise me either.
He'll get a race win before DC gets one this year, I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
I'm on that boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I would.
Yeah. I mean,
I would be on the fence 50-50 either way, but knowing AC is not 100% right now, I'm going to say.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing between those two, if you look at it, because they're both speed wise, I mean, they both can be like a second faster than anybody else. But AC, like, unfortunately, last year, or I guess when we did those recaps, one of the reasons I thought he would be like a title contender was because, like, he had so many up and downs, like, he had so much failure, like, and was able to overcome that when at the Supercross, when he fell at Houston, Las Vegas, lost the championship, came out, won outdoors. And then being hurt and coming back, I thought that would make him so much like stronger, like mentally. But then there's a flip side to that. There's a part where you have to overcome that too. And I think if you just look at those two speed wise, let's just call it equal, team wise, let's call it equal. I think that mental part of AC having to like get over that gives Chase a big advantage, because Chase can just say like, well, I'm second year, change things in my program, like new start, new thing, like
right.
I'm fresh. Where AC be like, well, I'm same team, like, you know, I feel good. Oh, I got injury again. Like he has to mentally get over his own personal things. And so it's going to be interesting. So either one wouldn't shock me if they came out like one title. That's a different one.
Who else? Oh, we talked about him.
We talked about them, but yeah, let's get into the picks. Let's get into picks.
Well, how? Yeah. Yeah. What's your pick, James?
We'll be right back. Commercial break.
Monster Energy AMA Supercross Championship. See the world's elite motocross riders race for the series points lead.
Are you ready? It's time to bring the action. Let's do it.
Don't miss Monster Energy Supercross action.
Oh, they're going for it.
Holy cow.
I cannot believe what I just saw.
Returning for the season opener January 8th at Angel Stadium of Anaheim. The action returns January 29th and February 12th.
All right. Moment of truth.
I'm not looking.
Moment of truth. Well, top five picks.
We'll do top five picks, but you walk in here today, no pen and paper. You walk in, see me sitting here and go, oh, I've got my pen and paper. And then once you do get your pen and paper, you look at my numbers.
Look.
So now you're cheating.
Why are you calling me a cheater?
You don't even have yours picked.
Why are you looking at my paper?
You just did it right now. I've been thinking about this for a month. That.
I mean, look, you haven't even been committed to the show for a month.
But now that I committed, I'm in. All right. So I've been thinking about my picks for a month.
I just left mine at home.
Yeah.
Debo ate my paper.
Debo ate it. Yeah. How is Debo doing?
Man, he's tough.
He's old, huh?
He's old. I think Bulldogs last like 8-9 years. He's like 13.
He's got to be 18. No, he's old.
He ain't 18. He just, yeah. I mean, Badu had a good life. Oh, he was did, private he jets oh, yeah, and yeah. steaks yeah. and
I
all know, that.
He's flown private more than I have.
Bruh, I did look at your list when you went out to the bathroom.
Yeah. Right, let's go. Who do you got? We'll do top five. What do you got for?
You first. Look here. Hold up. You really going to put that on there?
Yep.
That's your list.
I'm sticking to it.
Really?
100%.
Yeah, I can't believe you're going to put that out there. Maybe you should just think about it. Should we go to commercial?
We already had two commercials.
Okay. All right.
And no need for any more because so far no one's paying us yet. So.
You look at you. You're just nervous.
All right. Who do you got for fifth?
I don't even got a fifth place one.
All right.
I didn't get paid for fifth.
I'm going with Anderson.
Yeah. Anderson.
Yeah.
Why?
All those things we just talked about. New team, just... You know, new house, new mechanic.
Oh, you really believe in the Pacific that, Coast air, that salt yeah. in the morning, like we yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fifth place.
Rango.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. So, Anderson. I don't have my list, but I'm going to write it down. Though. I got Roczen.
And fifth.
Yeah.
Really?
So do I.
Yeah. See? Your list sucks.
Oh, I can't wait to see you.
This sucks. Yeah, I just think like for me, it potentially could he do better? Yeah, I mean, you could win the championship. Do I think so? I just think there's. I think he still has that part where maybe his best shot was 2 years, and I don't know. I guess being around him a little bit more, kind of like knowing him. And yeah, it just, I don't know if he believed, you know, and that's a big thing. And I think, you know, having a teammate that's potentially supposed to be that next coming guy, like, does that bother him? You know, like, you know, is he, you know, he still has talent. I mean, does having a kid, I mean, you can either go having a kid could bother you or you can go like daddy needs to pay for diapers, you know, that can motivate you too. And that was part of my reason why I thought, even with Eli, I thought like the struggle last year coming in of finally breaking through, winning the Supercross title, like could be a big, like either he would go on a run or he would kind of do what he did like that this year, having a kid, like, man, I'm kind of set. So the only hope for him, like I believe is obviously new team on that. So we'll see. But that same thing for Ken. So, again, I got him in fifth.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And fourth?
I went with Kenny.
Okay. All right. So,
and even though early in the show I said there will be a changing of the guards at Honda, and I think Chase is going to be that guy, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's still going to finish in Supercross ahead of Chase, I think.
Yeah.
Chase is going to, like I said earlier, he's going to win some, but he's going to have a couple races where he scores no points, and you can't spot someone 25 points and still expect to do well.
Yeah. I think for me, I actually got Justin Barsha. I got Barsha to that because I think there's going to be so many, like kind of like last year, I think there'd be so many either maybe a win top three to like an eighth. And I honestly think you could just be there every weekend and get top five. Like, I think there would be guys that win and crash and all that. So I got Justin, even though he's not on my paper, but on my list at home, like the Devo 8 that was written down, I had laminated. He was actually in the top. He got fourth. But to me, the fourth through eighth could switch. Like, my brother can end up fourth or fifth. You know, so I just think that part is in those guys, whoever has the least number of like bad races. But I can see Justin, you know, new team. He's his own person. So yeah, he's my fourth.
I mean, he finished fourth this year.
Yeah. Did he finish fourth?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I came prepared.
You ain't got nothing but time on your hand anyway. And I'm running the company and, you know, being Santa Claus and keeping the power on. That's what I do.
The next one.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go. I got Cooper.
What?
Cooper third.
I got Cooper third. Yeah, I got Cooper third.
All the talk you've been doing about
I did. We might have to edit the show because I just literally said why I think
you
he would
basically just crowned him the champion, and now you pick him in third.
Well, I didn't say he was a champion.
You might as well have said that.
Well, I didn't. Why? I didn't say that though. I didn't say that.
So third.
Look, the top three, just like my fourth through eighth, they could flip. I'm gonna like.
I have no idea who you're.
Look, I got reasons behind my stuff, right? Like, you just
no.
Your third pick? Go for it. Let's speak on it, baby.
In third place.
Huh? Who is it?
And this is my true belief.
I mean, just say it.
27.
You've been 27 in a row? Busy?
I think that's where he ends up.
Is this a black thing?
No. This is
because, you know, we cool, right? Like, we all matter, right?
I'm not being realistic.
Look, I'm not.
But think of all that. Every year he's gotten better.
Yeah. I can see. I mean, man.
Have you seen him?
I mean, yeah, dude looks good. Like, he looks good. Like,
he. And this is where we can talk about.
I just see. Could he do it? Yes. It's more like if we were talking to 2023 and he was on this team, and then I'd be like, yeah, that's a good pick. I just think, like,
why 2023?
No, wait, why are we? No, he's 22.
No, I think he's meaning because Malcolm would have a full year under his belt.
Yeah. I just think, like, you don't go from, like, you know, Greenleaf to Owlsworth. I mean, maybe you hit
not
the
many
lotto.
People know what that means.
Yeah, but, I know. It just
I know what that know. Means, but yeah. Not many people do.
You know, again, Malcolm Eldon would be a big part of Malcolm. Eldon would be a big part of that success because the team having Malcolm with 2 years, you don't have to worry about that. The last few years, Malcolm has been a filling guy, you know, and
now he's the guy.
He is the guy he's on the guy. There. But just because you are the guy doesn't mean, like, you believe you're the guy. Like, and that's it. I just think, like, that's the same thing I'll say about Malcolm is the same thing I'll say about Eli. Like, does he believe that he's that guy? Does he believe that he's a top three? We all say it. And again, people are probably going to think, like, I'm like being like negative. It's not. I know to come on here and say, yeah, he's going to get third would be kind of like, and knowing the process and how hard that is, it'd almost be unfair for me to say that to him because it's just a different level. Like, it's just a different level. Like, I think if Malcolm could get third this year, then Malcolm could win the Supercross title. Like, I don't think that jump would be as big, like, between those two.
I agree with that. But, I mean, like I said, look at when Cooper left Yamaha with KTM. And I'm not saying the bike and Ellen is going to be that. Everything, but it's all the total package, you know, and he's been missing those pieces and now he has them.
Yeah. that being said, like, it's not crazy. Like, I mean, your pick's not, you're not crazy for, like, I could see that happening. I just think
here,
like,
this is how your confident
your Cooper to Eldon, right? I mean, your Cooper back when he switched, Cooper was still a champion. He won two light Supercross titles or one light Supercross title, two outdoor titles, which to me, you can win a Coast 125 title. To win an outdoor title is, it's still not winning a 450, but it's hard because you got everybody. You still got to do 24 times. It's just strong. I mean, just as good as competition. I mean, it means a lot. So Cooper was still that guy. And my personal opinion, we don't have to get in there, but I don't think Cooper, those two are not the same. Like, you can't say switching the team because they're just different personalities. And where Cooper was still Cooper Webb. It just brought it. The Eldon and KTM brought it back out of him. But that personality was always there. You could see it even when he struggled that year. When he said he was going to retire, he got into it with Roczen on there. Like, he wasn't taking no crap. He got a couple like third places like that year. I think he got third at Daytona. So the signs were still there on there, but he just knew consistency. He needed a switch or whatever reason, but he was still Cooper Webb on there. Like, he still didn't take no crap from anybody, even when he was thinking about retiring.
I'm so confident on that pick.
It only benefits me too.
That I would do the.
So, you know, like, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Us at seven, we would love to see that happen. Like, yeah. Do I think it can happen? Yeah, it could. Yeah. And maybe, like, I'm underselling. Maybe I'm saying that it couldn't happen, so it does happen.
I'm cool with that. Yeah. I'm cool with that.
Number two.
But wait, hold up. You saw the picture he posted.
Man, he's really trying to sell it, right?
But because I almost forgot to bring it up, but he posted a photo of him before we went on a road ride.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminded me of around this same time of year, James was always really, really good at posting a photo, shirtless photo at the track, like, just to let people know kind of where he was at training wise.
Yeah.
But I think Mount kind of did that the other day. But that's what made me ask you to post that video, that rap video that you did.
Oh yeah.
And why you didn't, you didn't post it.
No, for sure. And it's funny. You do this shirtless, cause we do these opening ceremonies videos, and I had the Rick James and Prince and all that. We shot the rap video probably the same time I did like a workout rap before the season. And it, obviously, if you've seen it, it's legit, but I would not let that thing out. Like, I couldn't let it out because the perception's reality. And even when I went out for opening ceremonies, like, I just felt like the nights that I did, like, the funny, like, skits that Chad and Ricky, like, it always make me seem, like, friendly
and
to
like
them.
You weren't taking it serious?
Well, not even that, because they still knew, like, I was James Stewart, but it almost, it... To me, in my eyes, when Chad came out with the like, dun, 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 like, he don't know. Like, I'm like, damn, dude's like, looks serious tonight. Even though he shot that video like 3 weeks ago, I'm like, he looks serious. But when he did like a funny one, or he did a Valentine's with LA, I was like, oh, I got him tonight. He just looks like a normal person to me. So that stuff matters. So Malcolm posting that thing, I don't think he's ever really posted like that kind of like he's saying reason why you think he's going to get third, because I think that could only benefit. The more he believes that, like, making that switch and making everybody else believe that that's what it's going to take, the more that pick could be reality. But to go back to your point, I wouldn't put those videos out because it would make me look soft to those guys.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Number two. I think he's looking at imaginary list. I don't even know if he's got anything. Yeah,
I'm looking at just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You first. Who you got for two?
I just went first. I got Ferrandis.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I got Ferrandis. And look, my list probably could be wrong. I'm here to insight. Like I said, like, I'm really like backing out of it. It's not good. It's not good for a host to kind of backpedal this thing. Just believe in it. Yeah, Ferrandis, I got him.
All right.
I got him. I just don't think there's the two guys that I got up top. They could flip either way.
Same with me.
Yeah.
Same.
So who you got?
I got Eli.
He's been going back and forth all day.
Literally all day.
So, nope. Man, I already saw that list.
Yeah. No, what?
I don't know why I asked you a question. I already knew.
No, what?
I already seen your list. No Ferrandis, top five. The defending motocross champ.
Yeah, defending motocross champ.
The guy that you wouldn't, like, if coming before outdoors, you would you say, like, Ferrandis would be more likely to win a supercross title or outdoor title?
Outdoor title.
Really?
Yeah.
You thought he was an outdoor rider?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't see that. Yeah, I thought you would say supercross because I thought it was supercross.
No.
Yeah, I think the French are really good at like supercross and just like look at Marvin, you know, really good technical rider, Europeans technical rider with Roxen tracks. The more rutted and technical they are, the bigger separation they have to everybody else. Because when you look at some of the races Kenny won, like he wins by a mile. Like in his technical tracks. So same thing like with Ferrandis, the races that he did good was like Indy. He came from like last and a few like technical tracks. So to me, I think, yeah, for you not even having a top five, it's like, okay, all right.
And it's the same reason I don't have Chase, AC, and Dylan. I just think there's going to be too many bad races.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand. I could, if he's not in top five, it's because he got hurt. There ain't no other. It ain't gonna be because he's like DNF and or crashing and all that. Like maybe the other two guys, which I don't even believe that they will be doing that. Like I think they just might have races or possibly knock on wood. Hopefully nobody gets hurt. Maybe get hurt, but. The dude just won the outdoor title, which to me is like, is you got to be consistent, like to be able to like do that. And I think that's even in this lights career, he was consistent, you know, like he hasn't been like a big crasher. So
yeah, I got two 250 supercross titles back to back.
Yeah. And then he won the outdoor title.
You see,
I believe.
I like the guy. I really do. He was an awesome teammate. Like, he's a good
Oh, you
dude.
Raced? You, what team you raced for?
He really was. He really was. I didn't think he would be, but he was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him. After I watched his monster video or what, Misunderstood?
Yep.
I haven't seen it.
Yep.
I was misunderstood. He corrected me.
It was
so you understand it better?
No, I didn't watch it. I was just saying that. But just I haven't seen honest it. But on that. But I like him because, you know, I just like him. I don't know him. I don't know why I like him.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. He's a good dude. I like that he trains with Villeman. I like Villeman.
Yeah, David's good. Yep. Yeah, that's mind-boggling to me.
What, so he's not in my top five?
Yeah, mind-boggling.
Sorry, Dylan.
Hey, you got to apologize to him, not me.
All right, so.
Number one.
I got Eli.
Ooh.
And out of the top five, he's probably my shakiest one, but he's one that, like, I think is... It's all or nothing. Like, I think it's all or nothing. Like, I think he's going to come in and then, like, he's either going to win it or he's not. Simple as that. But yeah, like, if I didn't have him first, I wouldn't even have him in my top five.
Did you watch the first outdoor at Loretta's 2 years ago?
Yeah.
It was the first one.
Yeah.
When his bike blew up.
Yeah. That was the second one.
I felt like when he left his bike.
He was done. Yeah.
He was done with that team.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually. I told Chase that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But that was like him walking back to the truck was you're walking back to the truck at Houston. Like just, I'm sure he was just thinking of every different thing.
Yeah. I don't think that, but I think for him, he just came off that supercross title, and I think again he was like kind of like when Tiger Woods won the Masters. Like he started like, damn, like Tiger's up there again. Like Tiger won this tournament. You could see it like coming. And then when he won the Masters, it was either like he's going to continue winning or he's going to start missing cuts and all that. And he started missing cuts on there. Like to get to that step, it's a big relief. And so when he walked off on that one, I didn't think it was a team thing. I just thought it was like,
yeah, it was like in his head. He was just like, I'm
okay. Yeah. Yeah. But there was a couple races that year right after that, this is when I started working with Chase, and I was like, oh yeah, he caught up to you and he couldn't pass you. Like, I'm like, that's it for him. Like on there, you could see it like happening. And then that also, like, I think that what you're talking about only made it harder for him like last year and this year. Well, this year coming up, because people started seeing that and it was a chip and like,
yeah,
oh, okay. Like he can be beat like right on there. But yeah, if you believe in teams and you believe in like all these different stuff and the list that we got, then he's should be the favorite coming in next year.
Those picks surprised me. And I didn't know what you were going to, yeah, you're going to come in here with.
I didn't know.
I knew you were going to come here with nothing, but.
Yeah. I mean, I came with something. I came with it in my mind. But yeah, so I got Eli, Dylan, Webb. Even though my Webb pick, I contradicted my whole self, but I believe in it. I think he'll be, and I think those three would be tight. I think it'd be a fight for the title. And then my fourth through eighth, you can put whoever you want in there, but. Like, yeah. Cole's last name. Who's my fourth pick again?
Beach. Cole Beach.
Yeah, that's it. That guy. Yeah. But, yeah, it should be good. So, anyways, yeah, those are our picks. I guess we'll kind of see in, 5 months we have to go back and recap. I can't believe you're not going to do the Rick Ross, the beard.
No. Seriously. I was almost going to say that's how confident on Malcolm, on my pick for Mal, that I would do. But,
yeah,
no.
Are you guys wanting to put? I think you guys should put a little bit of money down, and we'll mark this.
Yeah, he just figured out a way to reimburse himself.
Yeah, like, I'll figure it out. I'll expense it.
Yeah, yeah. Expense it. Somehow I'm not doing that, but yeah, I think that should be good. And I'm also excited about the 250 class too. You know, with Jet, the Max kid. That kid's got talent.
Who?
The Max Volin. Yeah, Max Volin. Like I saw a lot. He kind of reminds me of the kid over in Europe.
Prado.
Like, he seems like a good starter. He's got pace. He's really smooth, even though he crashed a few times. But I can see him doing well in Supercross. Austin. Wasn't he supposed to wear out 450s this year?
Who?
I thought it was
450. Oh,
I think so.
I think outdoors he will.
Mm.
But I think he had a crashed at State Fair last week, so
yeah, man, it's gonna be tough on him. It's gonna be tough. Like, there's gonna be a point where he's gonna finish the whole season, but then there'll be like, then he has to get over finishing the whole season and then like start competing again. So yeah,
he's in a tough spot for
yeah,
sure.
He's definitely in a tough spot.
And it's contract year,
and Joe Shimoda,
he's my guy. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like him.
He's
nice dude. Like on there.
I think he's going to be the guy there.
Yeah. I mean, he might be the guy on that team.
Yeah.
On there.
I agree.
You got him from winning the title?
Not yet. I don't know who's on what coast, but
I mean,
either way.
Coast. Who you got? Just
Cooper, Justin Cooper on one side and Nichols on the other. I don't think you can.
Over Jet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with him on that one.
Yeah.
I saw Justin Cooper in action a couple weeks ago. So unreal.
That kid's good.
He's training with Villeman now too.
No, Colt is. Colt is with Villeman.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Kid's good. There's no doubt. Hunter, what do you think about Hunter? You know what's...
I feel bad for Hunter because I feel like sometimes... like. If the UPS guy shows up at the house, he probably assumes it's for Jet. You know what I mean? Like, everything's jet. Like, if I'm Hunter, I'd be kind of bummed. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the UPS.
You know what I mean? Like, they get a Christmas card that probably says, you know, Merry Christmas, Jet. Jet and like, Hunter. I feel bad for Hunter. Like, they...
Yeah, I... Look, for sure, Jet is more outspoken. Jet's obviously had more success, you know, winning an outdoor title. And I think Hunter's just as talented. Actually, I think Hunter's got better style, like, technique-wise. I think Hunter's, like... Like you 1A, 1B, whatever you want to say. But Hunter is really good. He just struggled like with getting hurt. But if to me, if Hunter didn't get hurt and he wasn't coming over that part of just getting back in there, I actually think Hunter would probably be like just as good, if not better.
So you have one of them as...
Oh, I didn't say that.
So what do you say?
I'm not saying anything. I was just asking you.
I just told you mine.
Who was yours again? Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll take them too. That's fine. But well, I guess my point is there's a lot of talent in the 250 class. Like if you really think about it, you got Justin Cooper.
Joe.
Yeah, Joe Shimoda, Hunter. Both.
McAdoo.
Yeah. Him and Nichols, they remind me of the same type of person.
McAdoo and Nichols?
Yeah, like not like it's like, you know, Hunter and Jet, like you think of skills, even with Cooper, like, wow, like they could like do something like cool. But like, the other two guys, they're like, they just charge. They seem like hard workers. Yeah, so they kind of remind me. Obviously, Colt won the title last year. But, you know, I think it'd be pretty good. But even like the rookies that's come out, like Levi, Robinson, Mumford. Yeah, I guess he's not a rookie. But Reynolds, Jet Reynolds, he got hurt.
Yeah.
Well, he was struggling. I'm saying, yeah, either way, there's a lot of talent. That's going to be a fun coast. Surprisingly, your picks, surprising, but I wouldn't be surprised. Anybody beats the Star, like Yamaha, like they're modern day Mitch Payton right now.
Yeah.
They're strong on there. And so it's going to take that. But yeah, if anybody would do it, I would say it'd be the Honda with Jet and those guys. But either way, I'm excited. So we'll come back, we'll regroup in what, four or five months, and see if those are right. You're going to get the Rick Ross beard going on. But that's it. We made our picks. Got to live with it. Still a surprise, but it's all good. So
cool. Before you guys go, let's hear your two A1 predictions.
I mean, dude, I'm struggling picking the whole season.
I didn't say mine already?
Not for A1.
Yeah, who you got winning for A1? Someone? Somebody's going to get a neck burn that night. That's all I know.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
That's what's going to happen.
That is
pretty. Is it going to be a four neck burn? Like, is Barsha going to get it four times in a row? Is it going to be a sunburn?
But Anaheim's like a throwaway race. Like, whatever happens is not going to be a good indicator of what's going to happen during the season. So,
case in point, Ricky Carmichael, James Stewart, only ones to DNF and come back and win that.
Yes. Oh, Ricky did too?
Yeah. Yeah, remember he got knocked out 2002. Remember he was cuckoo for Cuckoo Puffs?
Wait, in the whoops?
First Honda. Like, remember he came over to... Dude, come on.
I got...
He endowed over that triple thing. Saw it coming. I can't believe he kept trying to jump that thing. He had a 2-inch shock on that sucker.
So I guess you can spot someone 25 points and still win it.
Yeah, you know it's a tough thing when I had to win 7 races in a row just to tie homeboy.
Yeah.
Damn, Chad Reed, man. Dude, it was modern consistency. With all-time podium, dude?
Probably.
Hated it. Knew he was just going to be there no matter what he showed up. He was going to probably podium. He did. But yeah, Ricky did it too. 2002. First year on the Honda. He got KO'd. But Villeman let him off the hook. Villeman should have won that title. Yeah, Villeman, I think he was doing a photo shoot or something, hurt his shoulder. But Villeman should have won that title. I feel like he was faster than Ricky, but Ricky was, you know, Ricky.
Well, Villeman would love to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, he did. I think he could have won 2001 too. Like with, I think it was 2000. No, Ricky had him covered. 2003, maybe one of those years. He had like 2 years where he could have won. But Villeman was a bad dude.
Oh, he was for sure.
Yeah, the like Cobra.
Yeah, the Cobra.
Funny looking riding style, but did some crazy stuff. Yeah, he was the first person that I saw like come in the corner and like pulling his clutch and almost like it was like an automatic, like he would, like most riders you know, coming there, pull the clutch, light off the gas. Like Villain would almost like keep it like going. He had some cool stuff, and you could see it funneling into Fernandez, you know, riding style. But yeah, he did some good stuff. So, but yeah, he should have won in 2002.
Should have him on the show.
Yeah, I would like to have Vuleman.
Yeah,
Vuleman, Vuleman. Yeah, DV. But anyways, that was good. I like it. I like your picks. Yeah, a few of them suspect, but
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Rick Ross beard. Anyways, that was episode number 2. Hopefully this was good. We'll come back here
next month.
Well, right after A1.
We'll come back here in the beginning of the new year, which should be 2 days. Yeah, two, yeah. 3 days. And so my man, Roger Larson, Cole.
Beach.
That's Beach. What I like. That guy. Beach. Anyways, this is Bubba World episode 2. We'll check you guys. Happy New Year's.